Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Disneyland's 2024 calendar is out with a few new surprises. A new magic key holder gift is available.
Disney cookie recipes. Toontown is looking the best it has. We finish our conversation with Disney author and historian Marcy and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Well, hello there. Welcome to our unbirthday party. For your safety, please be sure to stay listening with your hands, arms, feet, and ears inside the podcast. And please, do give Peg and Teresa easier trivia questions. Well, it seems DL Weekly is about to begin. Have a most wonderful time. Perhaps tea time.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of December 6th, 2023. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank all of our current weekly tiers, including Mary H., Brandon H., Kat W., Danny B., and Lori D. for supporting the show. Without your support, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures that the podcast will continue and that we can make it to the parks more often to bring you the latest news and information right from the parks. If you would like to become an official weekly tier, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, our next trip to the parks is just a couple weeks, like a week and a half away.
I know.
And we will be hosting a weekly tier meetup. Please join us and other weekly tiers on Saturday, December 16th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're going to be meeting up at the new stage area in the Downtown Disney section. So kind of over by the old ESPN Zone building. They have that new stage with that big grass area. Plan on meeting over there. We hope as many of you can join us as possible to say hi and spread some Christmas cheer.
Well, our friends over at All Enchanting Ears have been busy, and they have all sorts of fun goodies for you this holiday season. They make things like fun and unique ears, ear holders, straw toppers, lithophanes, and so much more. Well, they're offering a special discount code available to all weekly tiers. Be sure to use code DLWEEKLY10 for 10% off your entire purchase. Also, they have free shipping going on in their Etsy store as well. So head on over to allenchantingears.com and check them out and get some things checked off your holiday list.
Now let's get to the news. Well, Disney released the 2024 event calendar for the Disneyland Resort. Some of the celebrations marked on the calendar are Lunar New Year, taking place January 23rd through February 18th, Celebrate Gospels returning February 17th through the 24th, and the Food and Wine Festival from March 1st through April 22nd, Star Wars Season of the Force from April 5th through June 2nd, returning is Pixar Fest from April 26th through August 4th. Halloween time is going to be a little earlier this year, starting on August 23rd and going through October 31st. The Plaza de la Familia will also be doing some celebrations from August 23rd through November 2nd. And the holidays arrive later than they have in the previous years on November 15th.
This was exciting. This is crazy exciting. This is the first time I remember them recently kind of laying out, here's what the entire calendar looks like for next year. And I'm here for it. I love that they did this. I think it will make it easier to try and plan trips. It helps with things like, oh, well, we know Food and Wine Festival is usually in the spring, but now we actually know when it is. So it helps plan. We found out that Oogie Boogie Bash will be returning. That part was announced. We also found out that there's going to be 4 After Dark events. They did not say when or what they will be, but they did confirm that there will be After Dark events returning. But yeah, very exciting. We will talk more about Pixar Fest in the next story because that's a big, fun thing all on its own. But what were your first thoughts when you saw all this?
I was like, oh, yay. They announced a lot of the same stuff that they have every single year. It's interesting that Pixar Fest is back. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Season of the Force, other than just like a May the 4th day, is kind of nice. Mostly the stuff that I was excited about is stuff we're going to talk about in our next couple mm-hmm. news stories. So that's kind of all I really had to think about that. But it's good that we can plan basically a whole year.
The one thing that's fun with Season of the Force is there are a couple little nuggets that were in here that if you didn't read everything, you may have missed. But the little nugget with Season of the Force was that debuting during the celebration, there will be new adventures aboard Star Tours. The adventure continues.
That's probably the Ahsoka ones that they announced before.
Yes. Well, yeah, perhaps. And Star Wars Galaxy's Edge will provide a fresh perspective on fireworks above Disneyland parks, with galactic music sweeping through the spires. So they're going to kind of do something different with the fire, you know, for your fireworks viewing when you're in Galaxy's Edge, as well as new places that you can visit aboard Star Tours. So those are fun little extra nuggets that are in there. Real quick, let's talk about the dates of certain things, because this year, suddenly, Halloween time is creeping. It's creeping into August.
I mean,
now.
It's been in August at Disney World for quite a long time, so I'm surprised that it's taken this long Disneyland.
It's August 23rd, so it could... Thankfully, it's not like mid-August or like the beginning of August.
But when are they going to close Haunted Mansion Holiday for Haunted Mansion Holiday?
That'll
now?
Be interesting. The other thing that I find interesting, too, is Halloween time is August 23rd through October 31st. But the holidays don't begin until November 15th. So my fingers, toes, everything crossed that perhaps this means we will no longer be getting snow on the castle before Halloween comes around. We don't need any of this holiday. I know it's in theme with Nightmare Before Christmas, the holidays colliding and all that, but it's just, I feel like it takes away from the Halloween celebration when you've got a snow-covered castle that's very, like, festive and on to the next thing. So I like that it feels to me like there's going to be an end to Halloween time and then a beginning to the holiday time, and I really enjoy that.
I'm just surprised that as something as popular as the holiday time, that they are taking a little bit from that period. Do you know what I mean? As popular as Halloween time is, I feel like the holiday time is like the second biggest time, right? And so it's interesting that they're kind of
shuffling
that around or whatever.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see how crazy popular Oogie Boogie Bash has been, especially this past year. It sold out in the blink of an eye. I'm curious how many nights they're going to be adding to Oogie Boogie Bash to help with that demand.
Hopefully a lot.
I hope so. But very exciting. And again, one of those things that we just talked about, Pixar Fest is back at the resort with some updates. So from April 26th through August 4th, colorful decor and themed menu items will be available. This time, an all-new daytime parade, Better Together, a Pixar Pal celebration, will arrive at Disney California Adventure. At Disneyland, the return of Together Forever, a Pixar nighttime spectacular with some new scenes, will be performed. And characters like Ember and Wade from Elemental, Red Panda May from Turning Red, and more will all be there to celebrate.
So I'm looking at some of the concept art that they put. I'm so glad that there's a daytime parade coming back to DCA, because I feel like that's desperately needed over there. Hopefully they do something with this that's going to stay longer, I guess I would say, hopefully than the one Pixar Fest time, which I guess, you know, it's a little bit of time, you know, it's a few months. But I'll tell you what, these parade floats look good. They don't just look like things that have, from what I remember, they don't look like things that maybe existed before, that they're just like reshuffling.
Reskinned.
Yeah, so that looks nice. I'm glad they're adding. Some of the costumes have kind of a, along that same vibe that Magic Happens has, and that's such a great parade that I'm kind of glad to see that they're doing something like that. Of course, I am a little sad that the the Pixar fireworks are coming back together, because I really liked Wondrous.
Yeah.
And I hope that Wondrous comes back at some point.
You didn't get to see the Pixar fireworks, though.
But I think Wondrous is probably better.
Well, Wondrous, hands down, was amazing.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed these. The thing that I thought was really cool was, instead of like Tinkerbell or, you know, whatever, they had the Up House that would go flying past. And it looked so, so cool. And now we have Baymax is also a character that can go on the line. So maybe they'll incorporate Baymax in the new version of the fireworks.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Maybe. But I was almost surprised, since the celebration seemed to be centered at DCA, that they weren't reworking World of Color to have a Pixar theme. So it's interesting. I think it's fun, too, that the celebration is in both parks, not just one. One thing I wanted to mention about the parade floats and just the parade in general, we had seen some casting rumors about, what was it, people that were skating. We even saw, we watched the video of like some of the moves that they wanted people to do. Well, it looks like the front float with the Luxo lamp has people on rollerblades skating around. We also saw rumors that it looked like they may be trying to bring Four Town together for casting calls. And sure enough,
which looks like
the Four Town characters from Turning Red are on the parade float along with May's friends. So I just...
Makes more sense now.
Yeah, makes a lot more sense. But I would say they did have a Luxo lamp float for the Pixar Play Parade. So I do think that one maybe just got a makeover. But sure, the other one looks like a new float. Anyways, very exciting. It looks very fun and colorful. The other thing different too this time around for Pixar Fest is when they did it previously in 2018, Pixar Pier was not Pixar Pier yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good tie-in to the newer area of the park.
Well, fans of Pixar should be happy because this will be fun. I'm really happy about the parade. The parade, I think, is like the biggest win for DCA, and I hope that they keep it or something like it over there for sure. Well, hidden in the calendar update was some information about the return of Fantasmic. Well, May 24th will be the premiere of the updated Fantasmic at Disneyland. We knew that from before. When it returns, the Pirates of the Caribbean sequence will be transformed back into the Peter Pan sequence as it was in the original. New special effects, a, quote, thrilling new battle scene between Sorcerer Mickey and Maleficent, and more should be part of the updated show.
How excited are you that Peter Pan's coming back?
I'm very excited.
Excited about that, too. I love that we're going back to, like, classic anime. Nothing wrong with Pirates of the Caribbean. I enjoy those films. Mm-hmm. But there's something about keeping the classic films in the Fantasmic storyline that just seems to fit and mesh better than adding maybe some of the live action ones. So I was very, very excited about this. So I'm just going to focus on the positive, which is Peter Pan coming back. And we're just...
What do you think is going to happen with Maleficent?
I don't know. I was trying to be positive here, Tag. Positivity.
I'm not saying it has to be a negative thing. I'm just saying, what do you think is
going
to happen?
I don't know. I'm very concerned that it's just going to be projections, and I feel like it can't be. It's like the pinnacle, the highlight of the show. They need something. Clearly, we're not going to have a big, giant animatronic dragon to replace Murphy.
I'm going to put this out in the universe. It's probably not going to be what happens, but I'm going to put it out there anyway to be hopeful. Recently, when we have doubted something Disney is going to do differently than they had done it before, we've always thought, oh, it's not going to turn out great, or oh, like, there's all these poo-poo-y people. And we've been surprised.
It's true. No, that's
Mission
very
Breakout,
true.
We've been pleasantly surprised about. All the rumors we hear about Tiana's Bayou Adventure, like, we were really nervous about that, but rumors coming out, sounds like it's going to be a pretty spectacular thing. Tiana's Place, Palace, turned out really great. They've been doing a lot of things that, you know, Toontown redoing and stuff. They've been doing a lot of, I can't think of the last, and maybe I'm just not off the top of my head, but I can't think of the last thing that they changed recently that has been just bad.
Sure.
San Francisco turned out pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, even though it was just like a reskin, I think that it added a lot. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to hope that whatever they come up with, because I think they know
that it needs to
be something cool.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hope that they come up with something that we can't even fathom right now that's going to be kind of cool. Now, in the end, do I hope eventually a Murphy like we had returns? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think in the short term, while they're trying to figure all this out, they're going to come up with something. I'd rather have some Fantasmic than no Fantasmic.
And I feel like with the time that it's been since they closed the show, since the incident, and when the show's going to be reopening, that should be enough time for them to have come up with something that's more than just the projection.
Yeah.
The B mode, if you were. So I'm curious.
And it's Sorcerer Mickey, not like Brave Little Taylor Mickey.
Right, it is.
So I wonder what that's all about.
You're right. I'm curious. The thing I'm hoping for, so with going back to Peter Pan, one of the things I loved about Peter Pan was the TikTok figure that followed the boat.
Sure.
The TikTok, the crocodile figure that followed the boat. I really hope TikTok's coming back. And if TikTok comes back, that makes me wonder then, do Flotsam and Jetsam come back? I thought they looked so, so cool. There's something to me that's just extra magical about the figures. with Fantasmic and not, you know, yes, the fireworks are amazing. Yes, the projections are really like technologically cool, but there's something about the physical characters. So like the cast members that are acting and, you know, all that, that's what brings it really alive. So it, I hope they pump more of that in.
I mean, we've seen that with, you've commented like when we, like in Disney World where they had like the Frozen, like it was the projected faces don't look as good as like the full animatronic faces. By the way, have you seen the animatronics for stuff over? And it looks really good. Anyway,
we haven't heard anything about what that's going to be. So once we do, of course, we will let you all know. But it's got to be something more than projections. What? I don't know. So
what are they going to do with that pit if they don't have a Murphy coming out of it?
Well, Aladdin and Jasmine come out of the pit, too.
Yeah, but they come off like to the side. I'm hoping something.
Well, a new gift for Magic Key Holders is available for just a couple of more days. Key holders can pick up a poster for the new Disney animated film Wish at Disney Anna in Disneyland, the Studio Store in Disney California Adventure, or Wonderground Gallery in Downtown Disney. There is limit one per key holder while supplies last. The offer does end on December 8th.
This little print looks cool.
It looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I like it quite a bit. Unfortunately, it's not going to be there when we're there in just like a week and a half. But yeah, if you're and it looks like it's a fairly good size too, if you look at the photo that they've provided here. So yeah, again, through December 8th only. I did go see Wish and I thought it was fine. Like it wasn't a bad Disney movie. It just wasn't as lively and great as I had wanted it to be, I guess. You still have not seen Wish?
I still have not seen it, no.
What's your plan for that?
There is no plan for that right now. I was hoping to go last weekend. It didn't pan out. So I'm hoping to go this weekend. We'll see. Worst case scenario, it'll come to Disney Plus, and I can definitely enjoy it on Disney Plus for sure. But I'm hoping to see it in the theaters.
Speaking of which, I just want to throw this in here. We saw a news story that said that Turning Red, Luca, and Soul will be returning to theaters at the beginning of 2024. Those are the three movies that were released straight to Disney Plus during COVID. So if you are interested in seeing those movies in the theater, you will get that opportunity through, I think it was January, February, and March. So I plan on trying to see one or two of those back in the theater. So, Well, National Cookie Day was Monday, and of course, Disney got in on the fun, posting 5 recipes to help celebrate. The chocolate peppermint cookies from Disney's Contemporary Resort, the melted snowman sugar cookies from Pizza Rizzo in Disney Hollywood Studios, snickerdoodle cookie with Snickers from Epcot, the bourbon eggnog snowflake cookies from Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar in Disney Springs, and finally the snowman shortbread from Disneyland. To make these at home, check out the link in our show notes.
This, I think, was so fun. I might have to try one or two of these recipes to take like to different holiday gatherings that I'm having with friends and family, because I don't know. I just think it's fun and like extra magical to bring pieces of Disney parks, like, you know what I mean, to like share that. I think that's really cool.
This melted snowman is the funniest one. I think it's adorable. So if you're gonna make these for friends and get-togethers and stuff like that, which ones are you thinking of making?
I don't know, because they all sound delicious. The snickerdoodle one might be on the bottom of my list.
Really?
I think it'd be cool, but bourbon eggnog snowflake. Vern enjoys bourbon, so I think that would be fun. And there's only one that's Disneyland specific, so I feel like I have to do the Disneyland specific one, which is the shortbread. The snowman shortbread cookies. And you're right that the melted snowman one is just too darn adorable to not do.
Can we just talk about this though a little bit? I feel like sometimes when we look at the foodie guides, Disneyland kind of gets the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
And I feel like we did again. Like, this is a cool cookie, but it's not as, like, there's not as much flair. Like, why couldn't we get the cool melted snowman one? That is so adorable.
I mean, it is. It's a sugar cookie that has this adorable melted snowman
but
on
the
it.
Melted
so
snowman looks
maybe
adorable.
Maybe our shortbread one tastes better.
Sure.
We'll go with that. Well, Toontown is almost finally out from behind all of the construction walls. The last remaining walls that are up are around Donald's Duck Pond. The rest of the area is open and looks great for guests. Goofy's How to Play Yard has an updated birdhouse, which, oh my gosh, it's adorable. I can't wait to go check this out. You can like peek in the birdhouse and like see the birds in their little homes with their little like tables and bird stuff. I think it's adorable. The play side of Donald's boat has the teeter-totters back, and things generally are just looking really great. The fountain, the effects are working. It seems like some of the water squirts are like synchronized to the music in the area.
Nice.
Very fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I am excited about this like bird house thing that I want to experience because it looks like they've done a really nice job adding these kind of little themed elements.
I think it's fun.
And the fountain, because I think when we were there, the fountain wasn't working or wasn't working all the way or something. I remember. Yeah, I'm excited to kind of see it. That Donald's duck pond is just
needs to happen.
Come on, Donald.
Poor Donald's duck pond.
Well, it's wild out there in the jungle. The Jungle Cruise has a few elements missing at the moment, which may take away from the experience. Squirt, the elephant that sprays water, I guess, is missing. The temple ruins that used to go over the water have also been removed, and one of the African bull elements is missing. It's good that they're able to remove some of these items for refurbishment and not close down the attraction, because, of course, we'd rather have as many attractions up as possible. But it does seem like a lot of things at one time, and I know that the artifact going over the water is related to the stuff that was going over by the tiger that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Can we talk about what they did with the tiger, though? Have you seen photos or videos of the tiger scene? I love what they did. So instead of having just the traditional green scrim while they're working on the area that the tiger was in and like the ruins area there that had some issues and caused some of the things to kind of fall apart, they created what looks like an archaeological dig site. It looks so good that it looks like this may just be what they had updated the scene to be.
Yeah.
That's how well this blends in. If you were not a crazy Disneyland nerd like us and know that this is not how the scene normally looks, I bet you the regular day guests may not even be the wiser that something that this is actually like temporary and they're fixing things. Mm-hmm. That's how good this look. I was really impressed by that.
Yeah. Yeah,
whatever Imagineer thought of this, very quick thinking, very clever.
Yeah.
So you can still see the tiger. That's the other cool thing too. The walls have the tiger still, you know, out, and so you can still see him. He's not behind the walls. It's just the two sides next to the tiger is what's behind walls.
Yeah.
Because the temple was crumbling a little too realistically, and so they're having to do some work
on that.
Too realistic of a crumble for that. So yeah. Well, a new breakfast option is coming to Smoke Jumpers Grill in Disney California Adventure tomorrow as we record this, December 6th. Options include a breakfast sandwich, a breakfast burrito, a chorizo burrito, and my favorite, a breakfast cold brew.
Of course, a breakfast cold brew. The chorizo burrito looks pretty good.
I think the chorizo burrito is plant-based. So it's got a plant-based sausage and a plant-based egg.
And your cold brew is just a chocolate cold brew.
It sounds so good. So
this has got Cocoa Crisp Rice cereal, so it's similar to the one in Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, so it's just called the breakfast cold brew, and it's a chocolate cold brew, toasted marshmallow foam, and Cocoa Crisp Rice cereal on top. So many cold brews.
I'm just so happy.
So little time.
I'm just so happy that you are able to get coffee from a multitude of places and not just be stuck trying to wait in line for the one Starbucks in each park
that everybody went to. You and me both.
So are you going to try this one?
Yes. That's on my try list. I have to have a short try list because really we have two full park days. I can only do like two cold brews a day before I get a little
jittery,
too much. So two cold
brews
a day.
Come see Teresa at the meetup.
No, I wouldn't have had a park cold brew by then. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited.
When you see the next time you see her on like a live stream, she's going to be sitting there like twitching still.
Oh, it looks so good. I want to get that one and the one that's over at PIM. Those are my two DCA ones that I've decided. I hate to say it.
Was the PIM one the one that I got before that I
liked?
No,
it's a different one at PIM.
Oh, dang it.
It's different. But I hate to say it. I think that one of my all-time favorites, the Churro Toffee Cold Brew, which is in the Festival of Holidays booth at the Favorite Things booth, I may have to not get that one this year because...
Why?
Unless I hear bad... I've heard good things about the one at PIM because that's three in one park. Unless maybe we park up and I only pick one in Disneyland. That's also a possibility, I suppose. Ooh, decisions, decisions.
You always have tough decisions to make when it comes to
when it comes to cold brew, yes. Very hard.
Well, this past weekend, the Candlelight Processional took place at Disneyland. The celebrity narrator for this year was none other than Captain Marvel herself, Brie Larson. Brie told the story of Christmas so well and was overcome with emotion during her performance. Mm-hmm.
I just think it's so fun and exciting that Disneyland doesn't ever end. Like, we don't announce ahead of time who the narrator is going to be. And it's kind of like this special, exciting moment to, you know, who's going to step out for the sound check. I think that's great. But yeah. Love it. I just love it. It's a good thing I'm not a betting person because I don't know if I would, have put Brie on my like list of guesses, but I think she was a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel herself.
I felt kind of bad for her because I saw some comments of the article that we got this from that were saying like, oh, you mean like she actually showed some emotional range unlike her character in Marvel?
That's rude.
And I was like, well, like, sometimes that's how the character's written and how the director puts you. It's not that she's incapable.
Right. No. Well, one final news story is for those of you that are stockholders or shareholders for the Walt Disney Company, just on December 30th, the Walt Disney Company announced that a cash dividend will be coming of a whole whopping 30 cents per share. Still very exciting, though, because the Disney stocks have not paid dividends for quite a while, at least since I've been a stockholder, they haven't. So yeah, so they announced, the board of directors announced that a cash dividend, 30 cents per share in respect to the second half of fiscal year 2023 will be payable January 10th, 2024 to shareholders of record to close on business of December. That's to whatever. But yeah, exciting news for shareholders. I thought it was fun because we were just talking with Josie about...
Mm-hmm. Oh, that they haven't paid dividends for a while.
The stocks and, you know, all that. So, yeah. So, I mean, for those of us, myself included, that yes, we own Disney stock, but I own Disney stock because I just love Disney, not because I think I'm going to get rich.
How many shares do you own?
I don't know. I got to look it up. Because now it makes... I don't even pay attention to what stock's doing because I just own it because I want to own it. It's not...
Oh, that's me too.
Like an investment thing. So, I'm not... Yeah. So,
I own Apple, Disney, and I got in early because I was a user of this like online service. Unfortunately, the online service like they had their IPO and it like lost money or whatever.
Oh no! But yeah. So anyway, I've got to look up how many shares I've got. I mean, maybe I'll get $3, but I still think it's exciting. Maybe
you
Mickey
own that
Mouse
many shares?
Will sign my check.
I don't think that's how it works.
DO Weekly announces the boarding of the Trivia Express, nonstop star speeder service to the moon of Endor. All passengers, please prepare for immediate boarding.
Welcome to Trivia Land. How are we feeling tonight? You got great knowledge like you always do?
I'm not so sure because I think Trivia Land's visiting maybe a different land that I know very little about.
Well,
so we'll see.
Were you looking over my shoulder earlier?
Vern originally wanted to do something on Holidayland. So if anybody has any good trivia about Holidayland, send that in because that could be a future thing. Because what happened, Vern? You were only able to find a couple things?
Well, so I was very excited, this being our first recording of December. And you know, we just had the holiday of Thanksgiving and we're coming up on all of the December holidays. And you know, I thought, wouldn't it be great in this holiday season to do a Trivia Land on Holidayland? But there just is not much about Holidayland that I was able to find. There have been a couple questions that we've asked in the past, but I was not able to find more information. So, listeners, if you have a bunch of information about Holidayland and you want to send in some awesome questions, please do so. trivia@dlweekly.net. We would love to do an entire episode of blasting them with Holidayland questions because I can't find anything. It didn't last long as a part of Disneyland, and there just isn't much information about it. And so, that being said, we are not learning about Holidayland tonight. Instead, today is Walt's birthday.
Yes, we are recording on December 5th, Walt's birthday.
And so, I was wondering, do you know What does Disneyland do to celebrate Walt's birthday?
We'll find out. Or is that a question?
That is question number one.
Oh, see, we didn't even get like question number one. What do they do? I feel like they haven't done really. Do they do some special tribute at the flag retreat or something?
I feel like I don't think there's a cavalcade. Like, I don't think it's quite that.
They cavalcade for everything else.
Yeah, there's a cavalcade for Mickey and Minnie's birthday. I don't think it's a cavalcade, but I feel like Happy Birthday gets sung. I don't know if it gets sung at, like, the flag retreat ceremony, or if maybe they do something special with either the Disneyland band or the Dapper Dans. But I feel like Happy Birthday. They sing Happy Birthday to Walt.
Sure.
So you're saying that at some point, somewhere, somebody sings Happy Birthday.
Like an official. I'm sure multiple people are singing Happy Birthday.
Is that your final answer?
I think that's my final answer. Are you going to go with that too? I'm almost wondering if they do something in the window. I've never heard of them like putting like a cupcake in the window of the apartment or something like that. That would be a nice tribute, but we're going to go with Happy Birthday.
Oh, so is the apartment going to get ants?
Oh, goodness.
Sorry.
All right. Final answer then.
Yes.
Okay. Your second regular round question, and all of these are submitted by me doing some research and having some fun with this concept in mind. Staying on the subject of birthdays, and you're going to see a trend here. If you were celebrating your birthday at Disneyland, you could receive a complimentary I'm celebrating button.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the two locations in the parks that you can acquire such a button?
Well, okay,
now they have them kind of everywhere.
Well, okay, officially.
Yeah, okay, City Hall.
Yep, City Hall, and then probably at the, what is it?
Did you say in Disneyland or just at the resort?
In the parks.
So the other one's going to be like the, oh gosh, what do they call it in Disney California Adventure? It's like the...
it's not like the Chamber of Commerce.
It's not Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce?
Good job, Teresa.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or if you ask any cast member anywhere, they can probably pull one out of a drawer for you.
Yeah, because they seem to be everywhere now.
I mean, they are all over the place, but
the official,
officially.
Teresa, official.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that was City Hall and Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your third regular round question. True or false? Valid theme park admission is required to receive your I'm celebrating button.
Uh-oh. That's false.
Well, I think it's false because you can get it
in downtown World of Disney.
World of Disney will give
you
one,
you can get them
too.
At the hotels, too. So I'm going to say false.
False.
But it's true if you're going with our last place.
I mean,
place.
That's true, but those are the official places. Yeah. So I feel like this could be like a contentious...
A trick.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're saying false.
Okay. Final answer.
Yeah. Luna, you're helpful note taker.
She's so wonderfully helpful. And your fourth and final regular round question. Disney.go.com suggests celebrating your birthday with a character dining experience. Do you know the four restaurants that provide such a meal?
Plaza Inn.
Oh, yeah, Plaza Inn.
Goofy's Kitchen.
Goofy's. Storytellers.
Storytellers Cafe, yep.
Napa Rose.
Napa Rose. Okay, because I was like, where's the other one? Is there not a place in DCA?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Yeah. There
another
is not.
Knock against DCA.
Poor DCA. Yeah. The Plaza Inn, Goofy's Kitchen, Storytellers, and Napa Rose.
Yeah.
All right. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Final.
Okay. And your bonus question tonight. Do you know the characters that will visit you for your birthday at a character dining experience, and that is per location?
What? Like, there's special ones?
Like, are you saying that we have
They are specific to their locations.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Each location says, if you're at this location, you'll be visited by...
Okay, well,
okay.
The Plaza Inn, I just
Minnie.
Ate... We just did there. So, Minnie...
Goofy's Kitchen is...
Goofy.
Well, Goofy. Is Storytellers...
You lost me on these ones, so...
Is it, like, Mickey?
Because also at Plaza Inn... Like, I don't know if they rotate, but, like, we had Tigger...
Yeah, there's a ton of characters that
and
come
Chippendale.
Out.
And Chippendale.
I'm going to say Mickey for storytellers. And then Napa Rose is like the princesses.
Oh, yeah. That's
so a good one. Is it
Aurora and Cinderella? Yeah, but
who's like the one, you know? Well, let's go with Aurora.
Yeah.
But I know, like, I've seen.
Are you just saying, like, the main one or, like, all of the characters?
Oh, I need every single one of them. Oh. And you get no credit. I'm kidding.
Oh, I was like, I totally misunderstood that question. Are you saying, like, the main character?
Each one. Three of the four have a so-and-so and friends.
Oh, sure. Okay. I think Napa Rose is the only one that doesn't say so-and-so and friends. I think it's just the princesses.
Because they're all friends already.
Well, yeah. All the characters are friends with everyone. That's true. But I think it's Mickey for storytellers, Mickey and friends, Goofy and friends for Goofy's Kitchen, and then Minnie and friends at the Plaza Inn.
Sure.
And then Napa Rose. Can we just go with the princesses, or do we need to name the princesses?
I will allow you to just say the princesses.
Okay, we're going to go with the princesses then.
He's like, because you're wrong either way.
No. All right, final answer.
Yeah.
I know.
All right. Well, listeners, how did you do listening at home? How do you think they did? Stick around until after the discussion topic, and we can all find out together.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we are continuing our conversation with Disney author and historian Marcy Character Smothers. Enjoy. Now, at the Marceline event, you talked about the 100 Disney Adventures of a Lifetime book that you just were talking about that you worked on for like a year straight. Kind of talk about that story again, because I find that it's fascinating because you were talking about the relationship between the Disney company and the National Geographic company, which people think are the same company, but they don't really know that much about each other, it seems like.
Well, it's not that they don't know so much about each other, but I'll go back to that. So I had been working in June of 2021. I had been working on Walt's Disneyland for 3 years. I had been writing the narrative for the Delicious Disneyland, Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary book, Recipes and Stories from the Most Magical Place on Earth, and dwelling in the dark because I don't have any institutional knowledge in Walt Disney World, right? So For example, doing research and, you know, I mean, this is another show, but the whole thing about the hand witch, that was Stacy Schaaf in the archives in the Imagineering Library at Walt Disney World that said, you're going to write about the hand witch, aren't you? I'm like, what's a hand witch? I knew nothing. What? Now I have a PhD in hand witch, right? So hats off to Stacy. And so when I was just, you know, one day I went to YouTube, great place to do some research, right? And I put in Walt Disney World food, something, something, and Kitchen Cabaret comes up. And I'm like, there was an attraction about food? I had no idea. I had no idea that Cinderella Castle was wrapped like a cake or made like a cake for the 20th. Mm-hmm. None of that stuff was anything that I knew. So I'm like compiling all this information. Great, super fun project to work on. Choosing, you know, working with Pam and, you know, choosing the recipes. And really for me, concept art, which is a big part of Eat Like Walt, you know, having access to concept art for Walt Disney World, which is insane. Thousands of images, helping to pick that out. That book had gone to rest along with A Walk in the Park, Walt's Disneyland, A Walk in the Park with Walt Disney. And then my editor calls, ring, ring. I mean, I'm not kidding you, a week, it goes, it's off to print, which means you really, really can't make a change. Hey, Mars, National Geographic is thinking about getting into the 100th anniversary game. So understand, this is June 21. We knew it 23 was going to be, you know, the 100th anniversary of the company for a long time. So things were planned way, 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 way before that. So that's like sudden. And I want to see if, you know, they have an idea for a book, 100 Disney Adventures of a Lifetime, which is Nat Geo's thing, like 100 this, right? 100
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
It's part of their legacy. And I want to know if you, you know, if you're interested. And I said, no. What? And I said, no, I don't think so. Thanks. I really don't. And she said, she just paused. And I said, okay, tell me more. And then finally I did the same. My surrogate grandfather, you know, came back to me, William T. Young, take the cookies when they're passed. So I said, all right, sure. I'll audition. I throw my hat in the ring. Thank you. Thank you for thinking of me. That was about 5 o'clock my time in California. Then the next morning at 7 a.m., when I checked my emails, there was an email from Allison Johnson from National Geographic saying, "No need to audition. I've chosen you. Here's your contract." Can we even date first? I mean, this is nuts, you know? So we had a couple conversations, like managing expectations, because of like, how soon did you need it done? Because, you know, books are done way in advance, partly because of you turn in a manuscript and then there's all the editing and the usual copy editing, et cetera, et cetera. But if they print in China, that takes a long time. And then they come back on container boats. So it's like, she says, well, 8 months. 8 months, how many words? Wow. 70,000. Like, oh, wow. But we kept talking, and, you know, and the whole thing was, is that they wanted to get to Expo, last year's Expo. And to be at D23 Expo, then you have to have the books even earlier. It's all these protocols. So she said, I'll help you the whole time. Then she went on maternity leave. Thanks, Allison. No, she was, I love her. She's a dear friend. And so of course I said yes. How could I say no? The difference with the Nat Geo book, what I think you were referring to, Tag, when I talk about it, was because it was the first ever collaboration, at least publishing collaboration, of National Geographic and Disney, the Nat Geo editors really weren't familiar with the Disney culture. So they had come to me in our first meeting with a list. They, of course, because they had, you know, been working on this before I was hired, had gone to the head of the different platforms and companies like cruise lines and parks and et cetera, et cetera, and said, what are your, I don't care for the term, but what are your bucket list items? Like, what has to be an adventure of a lifetime? And as we're going through those, I said, you know, guys, respectfully, there's one thing. Every single thing you're talking about is very expensive and aspirational. And we need to do free things and things that, you know, they said, oh, I'm going to give us an example. I said, well, like pin trading. What's pin trading? You know, so they really didn't know, you know, the popcorn buckets. What do you mean? What's a popcorn bucket? Why would they, you know? So, but every time I suggested something, they said, green light, green light, green light. I mean, the autonomy they gave me was absolutely incredible. And the really big thing was when I said, guys, this is really, really important to me because I am an author, but first and foremost, I'm a Walt person. And I would like to have in every chapter, adventures with Walt. And they're like, yeah. I said, but sure, of course. But understand that these are not places, these places that influenced Walt or that the reader can go, that where Walt was and walk in his footsteps, are not things that the company owns. They're things like the Walt Disney Family Museum, the Walt Disney Hometown Museum in Marceline, Walt's Barn, Walt's birthplace in Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. And they said, yeah, absolutely. So it was a complete delight. It was intense. It ended up being a year, not 8 months. But really fun as a Disney geek, you know, a lot more research on Teresa, you know, did I get to go on? No. I went back to YouTube research write throughs, like the Shanghai Pirates. I must have watched Pirates of the Caribbean from 10 different, you know, views to write about it because, of course, and it was the end of the pandemic too. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you what joy working with National Geographic and that book has brought me because that came out, it's been a year. And I'm still going to Disneyland to sign books next week for, you know, 100 Disney Adventures of a Lifetime. And it was really kind of a dream come true. I didn't see it coming. And it's like anything else. You know, the birthing part's not fun, but the kid is. So
there you go. Well, and I think, you know, with National Geographic, it just shows like us Disney people kind of forget that there's very specific things that we get very excited about that people that aren't familiar with it are just like you said, like popcorn buckets, or you know, ears. Like ears or yeah. You know, any yeah, of ears. That stuff there, you know, it's just, or pin trading, like what you just buy the pins for yourself, why would you trade it with some, you know, I get it, because it's kind of like just even visiting the parks now, you start speaking the lingo and suddenly you realize, oh, I'm kind of speaking a different language than what you're understanding, because you don't know what lightning lanes are or mobile order, you know, it's just, you forget, we get so wrapped up in it that we forget, oh wait, everybody doesn't get excited about this stuff like we do. So it's great that National Geographic trusted you and let you roll with it and just were like, okay, pin trading, got it, you know, it's exciting.
They really, really yeah. did. Allison Johnson, my editor again, but the entire team, and again, you know, Adrian, who is the photo editor, all these things were happening simultaneously to get it done. And I am very grateful for that. And, you know, when you do a locked layout, the difference, what I mean by that is with Nat Geo, there would be every entry had it. There was three different amounts of words. with every book I wrote, including Walt Disney World's 50th, when I was writing those, that narrative, my editor there, Jen Eastwood, was, oh, write till you're happy, and when you're done. All my books, I write till I'm happy. And here it's not that way. Like, I had to fit enough words. So if there was something that I knew I had a lot to write about, I would make that like the longest word count. Yeah. And something I thought. So there was some of that, you know, that was very new to me, because I would tell you, did I get everything in that I wanted to? About, no, there was not enough room, mm-hmm. you know, in so many instances. So I just had to go to the sort of like the core, picking out like what's the most important. If I were able to add nuance, it would have been a different book. But I, again, to get that done in that amount of time with a team like Nat Geo, yeah. and to be part of the 100th of Walt Disney Company,
yeah,
awesome.
If you're still doing good stuff with it, they should work with you on 100 more Disney Adventures of a Lifetime and do the stuff you couldn't.
I hope so. I don't know where that will go. I honestly don't know. I'm not being coy. Yeah. I really don't know, because of course that list would. This is back to Teresa's point. When you write something that's current, it's always changing, right? Mm-hmm. So that was something else in the whole construct. I had to look at, like, what do I think is going to stay, you know, forever? Of course, a few things have gone away. And then at the time, during the pandemic, some things hadn't opened up. So when I'm saying, guys, Hoop-de-doo's got to come back. Like, if it doesn't come back, then I don't know what I'm going to do. Call for a welfare check, because it's got to come back, you know? And so please leave space for it. Because again, we were right up again, please leave the space. And then of course, Hoop-de-doo came back. So I did try to find things that I thought were evergreen. There are a few things in the book that are gone. And of course, so much more has been announced. Perfect example. We were going, the files were being sent to the printer when, you know, I get an alert. Oh, Adventures by Disney, jet trip around the world to all 12 parks. Like, yeah, that's definitely an adventure. And so my editor and I are talking, we know we have to put it in. So, you know, we found a spot, we took something out, we put it in. And of course, as every week we hear an announcement about something fantastic that could be included in the sequel if that happens.
Just so you know, Marcy, our listeners, right before they're going to hear you, or shortly before they hear you, we just talked to somebody who was on one of who was on that trip.
Yep, we spoke with Josie.
You spoke with Josie.
We did. And talk about, I mean, what an adventure!
She was the longest interview in our history. Yes. We spoke for 3.5 hours with Josie about her. I mean, 24 days, 3.5 hours is nothing, really.
And you know, what's so intriguing to me, because Becky Klein, the director of the Walt Disney Archives, is a friend of mine. It's like, yeah, if you think about it, not just right. I'm sure you guys covered this, time zone changes, but they were treated to before the park opens things.
Yeah.
And then they were treated to after the park closes things. I mean, it's like, when do you sleep?
Right.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
I have a question that I feel like we totally missed at the very beginning, which is, what is your favorite Disney food?
Oh,
that, you know, I'm going to lock this in with Bengal barbecue.
What at Bengal barbecue though?
Well, it's the veggie skewers and the chicken, but I just feel like, especially now with mobile order, I am a pretty healthy eater. So I know I can get that. I know I can get it quickly, and I won't, you know, and it's always so consistent and good. If I'm going to sit down, it's going to be the Plaza Inn for the fried chicken. Mm. Fried chicken was so important to Disneyland when it opened, because, you know, that little place down the street, Knott's Berry Farm, had Mrs. Knott's fried chicken, and it was wildly popular, you know, and so they definitely knew that they wanted to have fried chicken at Disneyland. And then when the chicken plantation, which was may not be the correct term now, respectfully, but at the time, you know, that was what it was called, or the Chicken Shack. That was the one Swift restaurant, Lessie restaurant, that was really popular, really, really, really doing well, but they had to raise it to make room for New Orleans Square. So when that happened, I saw all sorts of memos like, where are we going to have fried chicken? We got to have fried chicken. So I love the fried chicken at the Plaza. And then also, we could go on about Walt's two private rooms were there as well. Particularly the Disney room, the hideout, that is, if you're looking at the Plaza Inn on the back right. So quickly, when I was doing Eat Like Walt, I found a memo. Okay, by the way, memos that Walt signed.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible. Yeah.
No, seriously. I mean, I'm such a crier, I have to be careful, because you're not even allowed to bring, you know, everything has to be away. No, only pencils in the archives, right? Like nothing on your desk, obviously no water, nothing. And I mean, I could have watered, you know, these papers reading from Walt. He said, 1954, The Hideout stays in his red pencil. And that's because he knew he wanted to have his private room. And then there were all these budget cuts at Disneyland, but he was not going to give that up. So initially, the Disney room, if you look at the plaza and on the right-hand side, it was behind that atrium on the right. And it was pretty big. There's pictures of it in Walt's Disneyland. He had a private restroom and he could entertain his guests. But when he took back the restaurant, the Red Wagon, Swiftwood Wagon Inn, in 1965, because when he opened Disneyland, he had no money to run any of the eateries, not one. So he leased them all out. And he took it back, remodeled it, 65, but he had to get rid of the Disney room to make room for the new kitchen. And so then he moves to the other side, the Tomorrowland side, and he had a small place. But if, and that was in 65 and then 66. So it was a short amount of time that he enjoyed it. So if you go to the Tomorrowland restrooms and you walk all around the back of that porch of the Plaza Inn, you can see a door and it has a multicolored stained glass window. That was Walt's second hideout. And that is the original window. And that same style window actually is in Walt's apartment. That's for another story when I had the opportunity to do some things without a big group and see the same exact style. If you go for the original Disney room, the bigger one that became the kitchen that I think now they wash dishes in, if you go to where the baby care center is in first aid, you'll see a triptych style window. That's the original windows that were Walt's. So
okay. We now have homework for our next trip to go check these.
But now that's why I want to. So that gives you all back to the contact. We're talking about like all the things come together to make the potatoes taste better at the River Bell. All those things come together to make the fried chicken taste better at the Plaza Inn. Mm-hmm.
I'm not even a huge fried chicken fan, but it is one of those things that I also try to get a lot. That and the grilled cheese, the Jolly Holiday combo.
The Jolly Holiday, I'm a big
fan of too.
And for me, I would say the last would be. For sure, even though I don't eat a lot of burgers, who doesn't love a burger? I do get mine in a lettuce wrap just because I'm not a big bread fan. But if you go to the Hungry Bear and you go to the upstairs, the very, very, very back right corner table, and you get a view of Walt's train chugging along, his Rivers of America, his sailing vessels, the Mark Twain and the Columbia, his Tom Sawyer Island, an attraction designed entirely by himself. You get to soak in all that atmosphere with a burger and fries. What's not to love, guys?
Plus, that's such a nice, quiet area of that.
Yeah.
It's so relaxing back there. Perfect. Going back to your research time for Eat Like Walt and Walt's Disneyland, being a big parks fan yourself, what were some of the kind of almost like pinch me moments or
other
just,
than seeing Walt's signature?
Yeah.
On memos?
But like, what were some of the, like the highlights that you as the fan were just like screaming on the inside? Or some of the stories that really stood out to you that kind of made your jaw drop a little bit more?
The two probably off the top of my head, biggest jaw drop were I had asked permission to see Walt's desk diaries where his secretaries wrote and everything that he did every single day. It took me a little while to get permission. I did get permission thanks to Ed Ovalle and Kevin Kern for Walt's Disneyland. So they send you a stack of Walt's desk diaries and you're just seeing what he was doing every single day, who he had lunch with, what he did.
Yeah.
But now when we get into the years planning Disneyland and then Disneyland is being constructed, it just really blew my mind. And then I saw, which it made it into Eat Like Walt. I forget the dates, but it was something like July 11th through July 20th. No appointments, you know, Walt at Disneyland. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, look, I mean, it's like still get goosebumps. And it had never been published before. I asked permission to scan that and that. Books. I'm sorry if I don't have the dates exactly right. The other one I alluded to earlier in the podcast, which is I was reading this memo and Emil Curry was saying, you know, the lines for the Sky Bucket are getting really long, and he writes to Walt. Now, Walt did not like people to have to wait in line too long. Of course, he also came up with the concept of the interesting cues, or he and his team, obviously a team, interesting cues and entertainment along the way. But this was like a concern. So Walt writes back and says, you know, blah, 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 blah. Perhaps we should establish a ride for single riders.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah.
And mark it clearly so everyone knows and then say, and ask people to buddy up essentially. But those were his words. We should establish a line for single riders. And I'm like, 1950, that was like, to this day, I just, you know, so when you said that about earlier about like behind the attraction, I would have loved to have told that story, but I was there for food. But, you know, it's in my book, and I found that memo. And, you know, and I don't know how many, you know, the archives doesn't know everything that they have. They have so much stuff. So That would be it for sure. And then lastly, I had been asking, you know, Ed Ovalle in particular, whose area of research, about a few things, one of it being Walt's badge. And he had explained to me, we had a beautiful Zoom, and that number one brass badge, that's now, it's on display, I believe, in Disney 100 exhibition. It was at Expo. You've seen it. And they've mm-hmm. taken it out. When Ed started at the archives, he said to Dave Smith, "Do you know where Walt's number one badge is?" Now, as far as we know, it's only been seen twice. On opening day, he's sitting in front of the Sleeping Beauty castle, and it's on his lapel, and he's fatigued and kind of slumped over, and so is the heavy badge. The other time was in the 10th anniversary special where he flashes it, you know, to Julie saying, "Secret agent number one." But that was the only two times. So the centennial, obviously 65. So that's like a long time. So Dave says, "You know what, Ed, I archived everything that was in Walt's office. I made note, you know, I just have no idea. I really don't." But Ed never gave up. And so one day he was decided to go look in Roy's files at lunch, and he's looking in Roy's files. He opens a box, and the file folders in the back are kind of pushed up. And so it kind of reaches back, and he finds this bag. He takes it out. It's a very weathered old paper bag, and he shakes it, and it's metal on metal. And inside were Donald Duck pins and Walt's number one badge.
Wow.
It wasn't lost. It wasn't forgotten. His brother Roy had saved it, and Ed Ovalle found it.
That's incredible.
And that would have had more space in Walt's Disneyland. But that story came to me at the very end. So that's like in a caption, unfortunately, because it deserves to be like its own big, giant print story. So yeah.
I'm just amazed because like Prop Culture was another Disney Plus show that was amazing because they'd find these things, right? You know, like Walt's badge, but they found like the snow globe from Mary Poppins. It was like some dude found it in the garbage and he put it in the like janitorial closet. It was just hanging out there. Like there's these things that it's just unfathomable to me today that these things were just, you know, whatever.
Thank goodness for Dave Smith, who wrote to the company and said, "I have this idea." And if it wasn't for Dave Smith, you know, I mean, maybe somebody else with the established archives, but I give huge kudos and props for him for his gumption and his passion and essentially saying, I am paraphrasing Dave now, but, you know, I believe years and years from now that, you know, Walt Disney will remain a fascinating person and somebody that people will want to know more about, and we should preserve his legacy. So,
yeah. Well, and I think through him and the archives and through your looking through the archives and writing these books, I think that's definitely happening. And I've been to the Walt Disney Family Museum in San Francisco before. I know we want to do a trip there so Teresa can experience it, because you never went, right? Yeah, I didn't think so.
Let me know when you come. It's only an hour from me.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well,
I told you this in Marceline. I grew up in Sonoma County. I grew up in Santa Rosa. And so you were telling your story of being on the air with KSRO and Guy Fieri. And I was like, hey, I was even living there when you were doing all of this. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, it was a blast from the past because I haven't lived there for a while. But, you know, and the Marceline, the Hometown Museum, and in Chicago, I know Dusty Sage over at Mice Chat's been really instrumental in getting that restored and everything there.
The birthplace.
Yeah. So like all of these things are just amazing to try to keep this Walt Disney kind of around, because I think a lot of people, especially younger people now, like, don't even fathom that it was a person, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, really Diane Disney Miller, Walt's daughter, one of the things that she, and core reasons why she founded the Walt Disney Family Museum, is because a lot of people think my father was a brand, her words, but he was a real person and he was a wonderful, kind man. And I want people to know that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really important, you know, with Disney Plus too, that they're kind of making, you know, bringing the history into your living rooms now too. So it's not like, and even just like the Disney 100 exhibit traveling all around the world. So it's, you know, it could be in your backyard too, to walk and see these historical things. I remember back when like the archives just seemed like this mysterious thing that were all these, you know, they had to have been unmarked warehouses that nobody knows about. And it was, this, you know, just all this like mystery around it. So I just love that they've opened the doors so that we can take a peek and see these historical items.
That's a really good point. It used to be so secretive, and now it feels like it's our archives, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Becky Klein has like the best job, because like as the head of the art, like she gets to go look at some of this stuff, I'm sure, as the head, if she wants to look at something or whatever. And just all the knowledge she has too, she's done a wonderful job keeping that torch alive mm-hmm. from Dave Smith and everything mm-hmm. and moving it forward. So it's just one. And then, you know, through people like yourself that are writing about it. So yeah. we get to experience it in our own homes through reading and photos.
I would just like to add one thing.
Yes, of course.
So two things, I guess. One is this quote that Herb Ryman said this to Don Perry, who's a wonderful writer and a friend of mine. But, you know, everyone agrees it's kind of to all writers. By the way, stay tuned for Don Perry and Pete Docter's new book about directors of animation that deserve to be recognized. It's going to be fantastic. But essentially what Herb said, quote, "It's for people like yourself to have the privilege and the duty to present Walt as a human being, someone that can be known, a person you can be close to." And when I found that quote, I still have it on my refrigerator. I still have it in my office. That is how I approach my writing, you know, besides obviously emotion, and it's that he is a human being. And everybody that I've met, not everybody, a lot of people that I've met or read accounts of all would say the same thing. He was a regular guy. He was a human being. We've heard that he had the touch and he understood what a working person, I don't know, quote unquote, average person. He knew that despite being stratospherically famous, you know, and highly accomplished and wealthy, he knew what the everyman wanted because he wasn't everyman. He was an ordinary, extraordinary man. So an American original, Walt Disney, an American original, the biography that Bob Thomas wrote, I feel, and that was re-released for the 100th anniversary, you know, I feel is the most important biography ever written about Walt Disney. Now, you don't have to know your biographer to know, you don't have to know your subject to be a great biographer. As I say, my hero, Doris Kearns Goodwin, never met Abe Lincoln. However, he did have a head start because he was, you know, worked with Walt as, you know, the AP writer. He would have lunch with him at the studio. He would prowl around with him at Disneyland. And the family asked Bob to write the book and the studio. They said, there are no restrictions. You have access to anything. Ron Miller, his son-in-law, you write the story as you see fit. We will not interfere. And in addition to all the studio records, and the family spoke to him intimately. And he interviewed some of the people that are now gone, but he's the only person that had that type of interview. So I can't say how highly I would recommend to your readers, if you're going to read a book about Walt, read an original. But when I was asked by my editor, Jen Eastwood, to write the prologue for that book, I cried. I really did. I'm like, you're kidding me.
Wow.
It was just two people. But now Becky Klein wrote one, who's a great friend of mine, Jeff Curdy, an amazing Disney historian, and Christopher Miller, whom I kind of, you know, recommended because Walt's oldest grandchild, first grandchild, I thought it'd be amazing if Chris, and he did. So I think Chris's account is phenomenal. To have contributed to that book, which I think is so important as a Disney historian and Walt's legacy, is the greatest, really probably one of the greatest honors I've had.
That's incredible. That's amazing.
I remember you're talking about this American original book. My brother, way, way back when it like first came out, I remember purchased this book, and he's not even like a big, I'm the Disney person in the family, but I remember that he loved
person
this book.
Or geek?
Geek. You know,
we're taking the word back.
I have to say, and I have to give Teresa credit for this, because I was a closet Disney fan for a long time, and I'm all about the parks. I get a lot of made fun of by people because I don't know a lot of the movie stuff, because I'm a parks person. The parks are very important to me. They were my happy place. When I was younger and I would feel sad, I'd go to the park, because I lived in Northern California. We could just drive down, we'd spend a couple days, and I would feel better. Like, it was kind of like my therapy. And so the parks always hold a very special place for me. So anyway, so like, it's always been really important to me. But I never like told anybody, because it's like, oh, you're a third, you know, at the time, you're a 30 something year old man. Like, what are you, with no kids? Why do you have a thing with Disney? And it's like, well, you know, whatever. And so through the podcast with Teresa, we worked together at a place for a little while, and she told people about the podcast. They're like, oh, I hear from Teresa, you have a podcast about Disneyland. And I'd be like, oh God, we have to talk about this. But now I tell people about it, because there's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just something, you know, some people talk about sports, I talk about Disneyland. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Lots to be proud about, my friend. Bravo.
Yeah. So, but I credit Teresa for getting me over that hump there, because it is something that's really important to me, and I get a lot of value and joy out of is the parks and those things. So anyway, more people should just be happy and proud of what they like, and who cares if other people don't like it, because you know what? That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else that you want to talk about that we didn't talk about? Of course, we're going to have you plug all your stuff here in a minute. So we'll definitely cover all that.
Thank you to Marceline for introducing us. And thank you for the opportunity to be on the show. Because every time I get to chat, connect with people that have the same affinity, I just feel happier. Mm-hmm. And I'm going into this evening happy and better for having the experience with you both. And I appreciate being on your program.
Thank you so much. Okay. Big question now. I'm really curious where you're going to go with this. If you could work at Disneyland, what would you do? Sky's the limit. Could be anything. Could be a made-up job. Could be a real job.
You know, I thought about that a little bit. Well, there were... It was not going to be food. I mean, obviously, I think I got to be in the Flavor Lab, by the way, and that is on my website. Getting inside the Flavor Lab at Walt Disney World. I mean, you might as well be blindfolded. You can't, there's no address. There's no GPS. I mean, really, it's true. There's no address.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to get in the Flavor Lab. And I thought that was the pinnacle of my Disney. It was the pinnacle of my Disney food career.
She's been to the archives and the food lab. Those are like the two top secret most places.
That's true.
The Flavor Lab is even secreter because at the archives, if you are at the studio, Burbank studio, and there's a little thing says open, close. So if they're not having a meeting, if it's open, anybody can walk into the lobby, see the books, see the display. There's Walt's Oscars usually there. So it's not as hard as the Flavor Lab, not even by a long shot. So I would have said like something to do with developing food would be, and that would be, but my Disney geek person would have to be a cast member and interacting. And I would say a conductor on Walt's train, because when you take the Grand Circle Tour, you know, again and again, you get to see the park from many different views. People are getting off, getting on, lots of stories, and it's a tremendous way to connect with the guest. I will say that back in the day, you know, when Walt had it, there wouldn't have been women because women wouldn't have worked the railroad in that era, right? But here we are in the 21st century. I'd have to say working on Walt's train would be the, you know, just because you get to see so much of Disneyland and you know, his whole purpose was, you know, take a ride around and see what you want to do and then get off the train and go, you know, and then you could answer questions like, who doesn't want to be a Disney concierge? Really?
Right. Well, and then it's also relaxed too. You get to see everything. It's still a ride operator, but you're not like, hurry, get on, you know, you're not having to worry about timing.
It's
like,
not Space Mountain.
yes, where they're trying to.
No,
you know.
There isn't, but I might be a little strict. Like if that somebody, you know, people know this. I ride on Walt's train all the time. I have my laptop. I'll go for 5-6 hours just going around and around. But do I close my laptop before we enter the diorama? 100% every time. So when I see people checking their mobile orders in the diorama or any dark ride, but that's another topic, another show. I would be a very stern conductor when it came. I'd let kids stand up before I'd let somebody have light in there.
It is frustrating. You know, they say, you know, no flash photography. Which now is also turn off your bright cell phones.
Turn off your screens.
Yeah.
Well, Marcy, it has been wonderful to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And I know that like we being Disney people and being the fan that you are, we could probably talk. We could probably have you on again in the future and talk about 100 other different topics. But if people want to follow you and follow what you're doing, I don't know if I can say this, but you were writing before we got on this call. So I assume that means another book is coming at some point.
Another book is definitely coming, if not two. I really wish that I could tease them, but I can't.
That's what I'm saying is people need to be able to follow you so when they do come out, they can see them.
And then I'm doing something else you'll see. Like I'm doing some kind of fun content creation you'll be seeing next year. But in the meantime, while I'm in, you know, creating and not, you know, nothing, I am still, you can find me on Instagram. My name, at Marcy Carricker Smothers. And my website is marcycarrickersmothers.com, where I post my things like the Flavor Lab show that I did or the behind the attractions trailer that I'm in or whatever else. And you know, and if you, by the way, if you know I'm in the parks, whichever park it is, you see me posting, please ping me and say, let's meet up. I love meeting people, you know, and so let me know that you're in the parks. And if we can connect, we will.
And you can go inside the Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room and educate some people with Marcy.
I can tell you a lot about that attraction and about the restaurant that never was. So if I had my other big dream would be two things. One would be to have a Walt Disney Enchanted Tiki Room restaurant pop up to do what it was intended to be in the beginning, I have, you know, it was restaurant chairs for a long time with the seating. So those benches didn't come in until early 2000s. But I've spoken to the Imagineer that put them in. So one of those, I don't know the term, reverse bowls, they come out. So I would love to do the dinners. I know exactly what was meant to be served. And then before the show and the dessert, I think that pop wow. up late at night. Wouldn't that be great? Like hard
That'd
ticket.
Be, yeah.
It's not a lot of people, but maybe you could get three or four cycles. And the other would be to have a Waltz restaurant. I love Waltz restaurant at Paris, Disneyland Paris. But, you know, it's for, catered for Europeans, although they did an incredible job bringing Walt into the 21st century. I was just there in October. Kudos to them. And Hong Kong Disneyland has a brand new Eat Like Walt Disney menu. Oh, yay, yeah. Hong Kong Disneyland, yeah. Walt's Cafe. So I'd like to see something like that, mm-hmm. like what they're doing at Disneyland Paris or what they're doing in Hong Kong Disneyland at Disneyland.
Yes.
Even if it was...
Yeah. Of any place, the Disneyland would be the place.
Well, you know, again, you know, there's just so much. I hope maybe one day, like a pop-up.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
The Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room turned into the dining experience.
And it was meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be incredible.
Well, they've done dining in the Haunted Mansion and stuff mm-hmm, before. Why mm-hmm. couldn't they do it in the Tiki Room? Why not? That'd be awesome.
One of these days.
I figured, you know, we'd buy tickets. I'm telling you. It would be awesome.
All right. Love it.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out the answers to tonight's questions and how many of them you got. How do you feel about yourselves?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah?
I'll hitch my wagon onto your horse and say that I'm also feeling pretty okay, I guess.
All right. Well, let's find out. As already established, we're recording this episode on December 5th, which incidentally is Walt's birthday. Do you know what Disneyland does to celebrate Walt's birthday? You said, somewhere, someplace, somebody officially sings happy birthday to Walt.
Walt deserves better than that.
That sounded really terrible. I thought we said it nicer than that, though. We thought it was at, like, the flag retreat ceremony or the Dapper Dans.
We said there was something.
But you couldn't narrow down where or who or... So essentially, you said somewhere, someplace, somebody.
I know. It just sounds sad when you say it like that.
Well, what sounds even sadder... is it didn't matter what way I wrote the words into the Google search.
No.
Apparently, nobody does anything.
Oh.
I even found a Reddit thread where everybody said, we couldn't find anything. We asked at guest services. There is nothing done for Walt on his birthday. Although there's a rumor that the cast members each get a bowl of chili.
Oh. That's fun.
So for your optimism, I awarded you half a point.
You know, they gave him a statue in the middle of the park. What else does he want?
We're not
they
wrong.
They named the
I'm
whole
sure
company
somebody
after
somebody somewhere sings happy birthday for Walt.
Yes.
On the 5th.
You know, maybe that's a thing that we should, not us, but I mean that somebody should start. Is at a certain time, mm-hmm. everybody should meet somewhere and they should all sing happy birthday
to Walt. Like at the train station. Oh, at the train station.
No, you can sing it up to the window.
At
the firehouse.
Square.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like something needs to be done either on Main Street or Town Square or the trains. Like that, that's where it needs to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me sad.
So, yep, apparently nothing is done for
Walt.
Come on,
we celebrate so many other things. This just,
Maybe he was too humble and didn't want anything for his birthday.
I mean, he didn't want a statue in the park, and yet they did that. So
that is true.
That could be a thing.
But still, I feel like without that man, there would be no Disneyland.
Or Disney Company.
Or Mickey or any of the friends. So I feel like we need to remember, we need to remember the man.
Or any of the friends.
And it looked,
that just sounded funny to me.
Or, all of the characters.
Yes.
Yeah. Dang.
Well,
now I wish I was there today. I would have been that some person somewhere singing happy birthday.
Oh my goodness, Teresa.
I would have.
It's only 6 p.m. right now. Somebody go, run.
Good Lord.
Not that anybody can hear that right now.
Okay, now off of that depressing note, let's move on to the next question.
Yes. All right. If you were celebrating your birthday at Disneyland, you could receive a complimentary I'm celebrating button. Where are the two locations in the parks, officially, that you can acquire such a button? Your answers were City Hall on Main Street in Disneyland, and Guest Services or the Chamber of Commerce in Disney California Adventure. The correct answer that I was looking for was City Hall on Main Street in Disneyland, and Guest Services or the Chamber of Commerce in Disney California Adventure.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
High five. Your third regular round question. True or false? According to Disney.go.com, valid theme park admission is required to receive your I'm celebrating button. You answered false. You do not have to have a valid theme park admission. The correct answer, according to Disneyland.disney.go.com, true.
What?
You must have a valid theme park admission.
They
because
need to redo
to
their
get
sources.
Your button, you're supposed to go to City Hall or Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, some.
How did you get there if you weren't admitted?
Somebody
to
needs
the park?
To update Disney.
Disneyland.disney.go.com.
And let them know that you can get buttons at almost every Disney store and the Disney hotels and the restaurants. So, no, truly. The insider knowledge, the official answer from Disney is no, you can't.
But we all know
but
you can.
The insider, yes.
Going
yes,
by
you can.
The sources.
No.
Totally.
I get that, though, because as soon as we had to say that there was only, quote unquote, two official places, and then this question, I'm like,
Yep.
There's way more than two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows that you can just find them everywhere and they hand them out like candy. But officially.
I think they got rid of the bit. Like, I haven't seen
the they didn't have the cart anymore.
The last couple times.
Because they used to have that cart out there.
The self serve.
That wasn't as fun. Part of the fun is having a cast member with beautiful handwriting write something and draw like little Mickeys or something.
Mm-hmm. It's very true. And then you get to marvel at their handwriting. And sometimes they'll draw like little hearts. Or
yes,
little
but can you Star Wars at their handwriting?
I don't know.
Thank you. That was a bad
thing.
That was
terrible. Your fourth regular round question. Disney.go.com suggests celebrating your birthday with a character dining experience. Do you know the four restaurants that provide such a meal? You said Plaza Inn in Disneyland, Storyteller's Cafe and Napa Rose in the Grand Californian, and Goofy's Kitchen in Disneyland Hotel. The correct answer that I was looking for was the Plaza Inn in Disneyland, Storyteller's Cafe at Napa Rose in the Grand Californian, and Goofy's Kitchen in the Disneyland Hotel.
Woohoo!
Can I just say that the fact that DCA has nothing but the Grand Californian has two locations just seems off.
It's because you can get there from the park.
Yes, but it should be in
the
park.
No, I get it. I get you. Where would you do it, though? There's not really a
probably Carthay or something is probably where they would pick.
Yeah, it would have to be Carthay.
Or Wine Country Trattoria, you could like, sure. That's kind of like Plaza Inn almost.
Yeah, maybe.
Or way back in the Plaza Paradise Garden. Grill area. Or, because if you try to put it over in San Francisco, it's too open. Everybody'd see it.
There's too many pathways.
Yeah.
And your bonus question tonight. Do you know the characters that will visit you for your birthday at a character dining experience? You said, at the Plaza Inn, Minnie and Friends. At Storyteller's, Mickey and Friends. At Napa Rose, Disney Princesses. And at Goofy's Kitchen, Goofy and Friends.
Lots of friends.
The correct answer that I was looking for, from Disneyland.disney.go.com.
Terrible domain.
While character lineup is subject to change without notice, Minnie and Friends will visit you at Plaza Inn. Mickey and Friends will visit you at Storytellers. Woo-hoo! Disney Princesses will visit you at Napa Rose. And Goofy and Friends will visit you at Goofy Kitchen.
Good job, Teresa.
Woohoo, we got it. It's pretty good for someone who's never attended a character dining experience.
I mean, that's true.
Not yet.
See, I was thinking that he was asking for, like, all of the characters.
We would have been here a long time.
And even the website doesn't say specifically, and they throw that big disclaimer that character lineup is subject to change without notice.
Yeah.
Because even they don't know who's going to be there. And they don't want to know, apparently.
You know, whenever they show up is when they show up. It's the characters. Yeah. They have lives.
Exactly.
They've got stuff going on.
Yeah, Chippendale got to trees film. To climb.
And, mm-hmm.
You know, ducks have ponds to be ducks in. Stuff. So, anyway, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Do you have some great trivia that you'd like to send in so that you can hear it live on the air? If you've got that perfect question that you've been dying to hear asked, feel free to send that in to us at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Thank you to our editor, Sidel, for masterfully editing this episode and making sure the show notes are all posted.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Lit Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.